Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm DM.
And oh boy, did we watch two more Christmas movies this week. Although one of them is more Christmassy than the other.
Yes, that's yes. True.
Technically, they're both winter movies, and one of them not really about Christmas. The other one very much about Christmas.
Oh, like it's during the holidays.
Oh yeah, it totally is. It's just, there's nothing Christmassy about what's going on, whereas one of them is explicitly about Christmas stuff.
Well,
I mean, people get presents. People get presents.
No, Christmas is
incidental to the going on. You're right.
Christmas happens.
Christmas does happen in one of them.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best I can say. You're right. It's the closest I can get to proving that one of these is in fact Christmas themed. But before we get there, we have some random crap to address. I want to recommend a video game, like, not so much for the game itself, but for how awesome what I think the company did is.
Okay.
All right. And so, first off, to give you a little context, there's a game that I played and enjoyed last year called Oxygen. And the idea is, city building games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you're a bunch of settlers, you're in a place, you have to build a city, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's a post-apocalyptic world where there's, like, sulfur ash all over the air, and so you have to constantly, like, reclaim oxygen and build oxygen safe zones and blah, 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 blah. And I played it, and I enjoyed it. I think it's a good city builder. So I get sent a review code for this new thing called United Penguin Kingdom. And it's a city builder starring penguins. And a penguin society. And so I start playing this game. And I get 3 minutes into it. I'm like, is this the same game as Oxygen? Have they just taken their post-apocalyptic world about, like, desperately getting oxygen in a horrible universe? And just done it again, but with penguins this time? In a much more pleasant setting? And instead of being people like, instead of people, like, clawing for survival and trying desperately to stay alive in a post-apocalyptic hellscape, it's about a beautiful penguin socialist experiment where everyone just gets along.
Jeez.
So it's like, they made the game, and then they took the exact same engine and mechanics and made a kid's version of the game featuring penguins. Now, there are some scares in the game. Seals will show up and try to steal your food, so you have to murder those seals. And occasionally, you have to build, like, fish farms and whatnot, and places to search for resources at the edge of your, you know, ice escarpment or whatever. And killer whales will attack those buildings, and you have to discourage them as well. But it's like, it's just super cute. There's penguins waddling everywhere. And, like, you can watch penguins throwing spears and operating cannons and, like, putting on hard hats and doing construction. And I'm like, oh, God. Just the idea of taking, like, so they built a game and they're like, okay, let's do this again. But, like, 100% adorable. It almost never happens, but it's so much cheaper than making a whole new game. And I love it when people do this. Like, my favorite game ever, favorite VR game ever, Necromutex, is just Doom in VR. And then the guy's like, well, you know, I've already built the system and all these levels, but this is pretty intense gore. So what if I do this again, but I just buy a bunch of, like, models of 1950-style robots? And so I'll just sell the game again, but this time it's not monstrously gory. There's just, like, cute boxy robots everywhere that you have to blow up. So yeah, okay. Cute versions of horrific games. Apparently that's my new jam.
I mean, why not?
Why not, right? Next up, yeah, I believe you watched a show?
Well, I finished watching Pluto. I mentioned this before.
Indeed.
I was watching this anime on Netflix.
The one about the one about the dog, right?
Yeah.
Famous dog, Pluto.
Oh my God. So... it was very good, and then it kind of takes a turn.
Oh, no.
It gets really preachy.
That's not what I was expecting to hear from you.
Which I did not care for. You're the second person to tell me that.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
It turns out the real gift we got was the love of Christ.
Oh, no, not that kind
Not
of
that kind. Oh,
preachy.
thank God.
No, preachy in the sense that we have
Moralizing.
to, yeah, a lot of moral, we have to love each other, respect each other. War is the worst, which it is. I don't agree with
Oh,
war. I
no.
think there are
Yeah.
other ways to resolve our conflicts.
Of course.
Yeah, so just a lot of that.
Oh, that's kind of a weird way for it to end up.
A
By
little bit of a pop.
comparison, do you know how all you get all of the resources you need for building your penguin utopia?
Is it war?
No. You pull garbage out of the oceans. That's right. It's
Oh.
also about cleaning up the oceans. A much nicer kind of preachiness.
I mean, that's fine.
I
And
know.
then to top it all off, so this movie, this show, it's
Show.
about robots, and there are lots of
Oh,
different kinds of
okay.
robots. And then there's like a final robot.
Ooh, who's the final robot?
I'm not gonna, I don't want to
Sigma.
mention
It's
anything
Sigma
about it.
from Mega Man, right? It's Sigma from Mega Man.
I just, when you get to see it,
Oh, okay,
it's
yeah.
a little bit of a letdown.
Oh,
A little
no.
disappointing in terms of like giant robot design.
Definitely not Sigma from Mega Man then. Oh,
No,
well.
it's no, it is not.
My God.
So really good up to the end. And
Okay.
also pretty upsetting. Stuff happens that I found to be upsetting.
Oh.
And all their questions are answered except for one, which I feel is like really important. Sort of you're introduced to this other character like down the road.
Right.
And there's no resolution for like that character and what they're doing.
Oh, that's weird.
So it's like, well, who the hell was that guy? And like, what's his
Guess we're never
deal?
gonna find out.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to Google it because I got nothing.
Oh, that's disappointing. Oh, well.
Yeah.
But I mean, you still enjoyed the experience overall,
I did.
right?
No,
Okay.
absolutely. Right up to the, yeah, right up
Yeah.
to the, I guess the penultimate episode. Last episode is a bit of a
Oh, okay. Well,
letdown.
that's disappointing, but I am glad you mostly had a good time with it.
I
All
did. Yes,
right.
thank you.
Next up, it's time to test your knowledge with the most poorly written quiz we've ever encountered.
Oh no.
Ahem. The Exorcist was the first horror movie to be nominated for what in
Best picture.
1974? That's true. Psycho was the first American film to show what?
Nudity?
No. A
Oh.
toilet. I know. Yep.
Amazing.
He
I'm not
flushes something down a toilet, and it's the first time a toilet had ever been on screen.
very
America's
funny.
messed up.
So they were showing boobs and stuff before toilets. And I don't mind, like, I'm
Not
not talking about
real. I mean, yeah, I mean, back in like the 20s, yeah. Remember, in the
no, but I mean,
30s, they
I know.
banned all nudity from films.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Couldn't really have any nudity after like the 20s. The Hays Code came in and hit the censor button real hard. Actually, so I
Right.
mean, the fact is we only have like 4% of remaining silent films. Like we only know about what was in 4% of silent films. So it's possible somewhere in that 94% of all 96% of all silent films that ever existed, there were some toilets and we just don't know about it. But post Hays
Yeah.
Code, this was the first Hollywood film to have a toilet in it.
I would just love to see like someone's study of this. It's like their master's thesis or their
I
dissertation. It's like
would love that, yeah. That would be amazing. Devote themselves entirely to this research. All right. Okay. Are you ready for okay, I'm gonna give you two questions, then I'm gonna give you two terribly written questions on the same topic back to back, just so you can
okay.
be angry with me.
Oh no.
This 1954 film features a prehistoric gill man who kidnaps a scientist named Kay and falls in love with her.
Is it Creature from the Black
Of
Lagoon?
course, it's Creature from the... What else could that possibly be? A 1950. There's only like two movies about gill man ever, you know? And they're both about the creature from the black. Oh, no, wait. Shape of Water. There's three movies about a gill man ever. What 1988 film, directed by Wes Craven, centers around an anthropologist sent to Haiti to research voodoo?
Come on, you love dummy. This
movie. You love this movie.
Why can't I remember the name? What is wrong with me?
Oh, no. I'm the one who has COVID. Shit. It's weird that I can remember this.
I know. I'm just... Oh. Come on, brain.
I want to say it stars Bill Pullman?
Shit. What?
Maybe God, Bill Paxton?
This is so embarrassing for me.
All right. Do you want to just give up?
Just say it.
Serpent in the Rainbow.
Oh,
I know.
Yes, I
know.
It just wasn't coming to me. I'm like, something about a snake. Yeah.
Know. You know, snake movie. Movie about snakes?
You know.
Lair of the White Worm. Done.
Season 3 of Buffy.
Oh, God. Stuntman Kane Hodder is best known for his portrayal as Jason. What character? Okay, yes. But his portrayal as what character? Do you mean portrayal of what character? Oh my God. Yeah. Gets worse though. Which original, in all caps, original Friday the 13th film did Jason get his hockey mask? Think you missed a word there, buddy.
He gets into the third one.
He does, but the question is, which original Friday the 13th film did Jason get his hockey mask? Did you mean in which original Friday the 13th film? Yeah. I know, you crushed it. 4 out of 6. Great work on the Jason questions. But I am shocked that on the two completely random cards I picked up, there were two bad typographical errors, both in questions about Jason.
Yeah.
Like, that's weird how bad these cards are. I'm kind of obsessed with them at this point.
I mean, I don't know if it's worth this much of your time and energy, to be honest.
It takes very little time and energy to be obsessed with these. Don't worry.
Okay.
And again, I have COVID. It's not like I was going to be out doing something else. I believe we have a list to look at now.
Of course we do. Yeah. Yes. So today's list is from Fangoria, and it is 10 of the most interesting demonic possession movies that aren't The Exorcist.
Ooh.
Okay.
Now, what was that movie we watched about that starts just post-exorcism and the post-exorcism AA support group? God, I love that movie so much.
Oh, shoot.
What was that called?
Oh my gosh. I don't remember.
Well, I hope it's on the list. Let's go.
Not surprising. I can remember Serpent in the Rainbow a minute ago.
Yeah.
Can't remember anything.
I really loved that movie, though.
All right. That was good.
It was so good.
Jeez. What was it? Anyway. Okay. So, this list is not enumerated in any way. And I don't believe it is... Nope. It is not alphabetical or chronological. Just a bunch of movie titles. Here we go.
All right. Let's go.
So, we begin with Constantine, a movie I absolutely love.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Ryan is my Constantine and always will be, but Constantine's a fun movie. There's only one Constantine, and his name is Matt Ryan. But I'm not saying it's a bad movie. It's a lot of fun.
Great movie. Yeah. Really liked it.
All right.
Okay, after that we have The Medium.
What's The Medium?
So this is a Thai and South Korean co-production.
I have not seen it.
Set in Thailand.
Ooh.
Yeah, about a medium who claims to be possessed by the spirit of a goddess.
Nice.
And she's being filmed by a documentary crew. I don't know if this is found footage or like a mockumentary or anything.
Interesting.
I hope so.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Found footage is a distinct category from mockumentary, right?
Well, I think you can put mockumentary sort of... Like, they're related to each other.
Yeah, it's just...
Some people will say mockumentary when they mean found footage.
Maybe this is crazy, but... And you tell me what you think of this. I think the dividing line has to be is, if a clear authorial statement is being made by the editing and presentation, it's a mockumentary. If it's meant to look like you're watching raw footage, it's found footage. Does that make sense?
So, I would say... I would hesitate to use sort of authorial statement and stuff like that. I would say if it is a finished product,
okay,
it would be mockumentary. If it's just
if it's
raw
Blair
footage
Witch
that's
Project
been hastily
cobbled together,
out,
yeah,
cobbled together, yes, then that's a found footage movie.
Yeah, so because yes. I was just trying to think because you know someone had said that there hadn't been a new genre of film invented. Right, since mockumentary. And I'm like, does found footage count as a different genre? Because found footage films started after mockumentary started in the 60s. Anyway, that's a discussion for another time.
I think mockumentary and found footage are kind of...
technically still in the same genre. Okay.
Yes, and then like Blair Witch, there's like this whole other body of work about Blair Witch on its own, yeah, and why it's so special and why no one has been able to kind of recreate what they were doing with Blair Witch. We're not going to get into that here. It's very theoretical.
You could just go and get the, you know, the various many, 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 many academic articles written about this subject.
Yeah.
And, you know, why it broke out when the last broadcast couldn't.
Well...
the last 5 minutes of the last broadcast or why the last broadcast couldn't.
Exactly.
They ruined their own movie.
They sure did.
Oh, what are those guys thinking? All right.
Back to this list.
Please.
Okay, so next on the list we have a movie called The Right.
Oh, what's this one about? The title's familiar.
Okay. So it says here it's a much more traditional possession exorcism story. It's about a Catholic exorcism.
Ooh.
And it stars Anthony Hopkins, Rutger Hauer, Toby Jones, and Alice Braga.
I mean, I love all of those people, and I can't believe I haven't seen this movie.
Right?
What? All right, we might have to track this bad boy
Catholic
down.
Possession movies.
Catholic possession movie with, like, nonstop star power?
Right? Yes.
Speaking of, apparently the new Exorcist movie features a climactic scene where, you know, like, they have to get all religions to exorcise, you know, to do all of their things because it's such a bad demon.
I don't like where this is going.
And that's, A, pretty dumb, but B, someone pointed out that that's how joke Leslie Nielsen movie Repossessed ended.
Oh, really?
Yes. Which starred Linda Blair again, so there you go. Like, literally, at the end of the movie, he calls in, like, every possible kind of holy person there is and has them all pray at the demon at once. And it's like, yep, they went all the way and brought the Exorcist, and then they just made a parody Exorcist film from the 1980s accidentally. All right, next up.
Okay, next we have The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Okay, well, I've seen this. I think it's okay.
I haven't seen it.
I don't know that it's great. I don't think it makes a compelling case for the reality of demonic possession. Because I've read a bunch about the actual case, too. It is creepy, like the stuff that happened. But, you know, if you don't come from a religious background, it's hard to listen to stories about exorcism and not just see it as a story of, you know, people brutally abusing the schizophrenic. Which is kind of the vibe you get. And you're like, I think maybe these people should have gone to jail. Like, I think it's probably a good idea to put them in jail for what they did to this girl. But, you know, that's me. You know, maybe demons are real. I don't know. But I did not come away from the movie convinced that demons were real and that these priests shouldn't have been persecuted.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, after that we have Abby from 1974.
Oh, Black Exorcist. I've never seen this. I've only heard good things about it.
So I saw a trailer for it.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh, that looks really good. And then Andrew turned to me and said, you just saw the best parts of the movie.
Oh.
So maybe it's not that great. Okay. I don't know.
I've heard that people liked it back in the day. And I guess I'll trust Andrew on this one.
Yeah.
Which is too bad, because, you know, it's something that's been on the back of my, you know, maybe someday I'll check this out if it's ever sitting around list. And you know what? If it shows up on Tubi, I still might watch it at some point.
Okay.
All right. Shows up
okay,
on
after
Tubi.
That we have Jennifer's Body.
Yeah, well, we've talked a lot about Jennifer's Body in the past. Yeah. You've written a wonderful article about Jennifer's Body. We don't have to get back into this.
Okay. All right, next is, oh, The Old Ways. I keep meaning to watch this.
I have not seen The Old Ways.
So this is set in Veracruz.
Ooh.
A reporter witnessed her mother undergoing an exorcism as a child, and she returns home to investigate a story.
Ooh, nice.
She doesn't listen to warnings to go into a forbidden, about going into a forbidden cave, and then I guess, you know, demons
gets
happen.
Gets possessed, and yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that could be fun. When was this from?
2020.
Oh, wow. So it's recent. Yeah, I guess I just missed this one. Well, it sounds like something we might enjoy.
Yeah.
All right. Next up.
Okay. Next we have Anything for Jackson, which is another movie I've been meaning to watch and just haven't gotten around to it.
Okay. What's this one about?
So this is about grandparents caring for a child.
Okay. Anything for Jackson.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Does it star anyone of significance?
It stars Julian Richings.
Oh, I love Julian Richings.
I know.
I got to shake Julian Richings' hand one time and tell him he was a fantastic performer.
Yes, I got to interview him. He was great.
I remember. It was same incident, everybody. Same time, like that.
You both were there of those for that? Events.
Yeah, I was there. Well, no, I was near for
no,
that.
No, I interviewed. You were not there when I interviewed him. I was someone else.
Oh, you're right. This was a different time.
It was a different convention. Yes.
Oh, no, it was a different convention. I knew because I know someone who worked on. Yes, I got to meet him because I know somebody who worked on The Last Will and Testament of Rosalind Lee. That's how it was.
Okay.
All right. That's when I met him. I remembered it being with you, but it wasn't. Sorry about that. Oh, yeah. Julian Richings, cool dude and so memorable. Such a memorable voice, such a memorable presence. Then when we're watching the movie The Conspiracy, a man shows up in a suit with a blurred out face. And the minute he showed up, we're both like, I feel like that's Julian Richings. And it was.
Yep.
And his face is never unblurred. You just have to know it's Julian Richings. And we did.
Go us.
Oh, we love you, like Julian. We really do. All right. Look out for Mythos. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Okay, two more to go.
All right.
All right, next is Demons.
Ooh. Like the...
95.
Okay, yeah, the movie I'm thinking of then. Wait, is that the one where they attack a film festival? Or like... oh, no, that's Demons 2.
This what is, happens it in says the first here, Demons? This Italian film is about a mysterious theater in Berlin where a man in a silver mask passes out tickets in the subway.
Yeah, and then there's like get demon possessed while they're watching the movie. Yeah, I remember this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like this one a lot. It's
demon,
super
demon
gory.
Infection. Interesting.
Yeah, it's super gross. It's super, you know, it's very gory. Well, it's nonsensical in a way that all Italian horror movies are. I'm calling you out, Italian horror directors. None of your movies make sense, and I love them, but don't pretend they make sense.
I don't think anyone does pretend that they make sense.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure nobody's pretending those movies make sense.
No.
but no, Mario Bava is great. Like, I've
Lumberto
so many... Oh, then it's not who I'm thinking of. Oh. So it's a hack Bava. Gotcha.
Oh my god.
I know, right?
Okay, no, one
this,
more to go.
This movie was made by Bill Spielberg. Oh. I'm less excited then.
Stefan Spielbergio.
Stefan Spielbergo. Spielbergo. Senor Spielbergo. Get me his non-union Mexican equivalent.
Yes.
Oh. Es bueno.
Okay, one more on the list. Can you guess what it is?
Oh, God. All right. Is it possible for me to guess this? Like,
I think it is. I think it's possible. You don't like this movie.
Oh, damn. But I hate so many movies.
I know.
The Last Exorcism, the found footage one?
No, I like that movie.
I know you do. It's a disagreement we had.
It is not The Last Exorcism.
All right, what is it?
It's Paranormal Activity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, I've softened on Paranormal Activity after watching it a few more times. I still don't like it, but I think it is a great portrayal of just an abusive scumbag in a bad relationship. And I think the franchise got real dumb afterwards, but real dumb and real unwatchable afterwards. But I still think that first film, when you just look at it as a documentary about an incredibly toxic relationship, it has some value. I don't think it's something that ever should have been viewed on the full big screen.
This movie was scary. It had, like, terrific sound design.
Oh, it does.
Specs are okay. Like, it's a creepy-ass movie. And you really, really hate Micah.
Oh, yeah. He's a monster.
As well you should. So, yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like the extra stuff when it turns out that it's like this guy who's a monster, like that's what the movie's about. When you get all of this stuff is, oh, well, no, it's a family of people who were cursed by a demon and fated to be like all of the, like, oh my God, it pulls away. That's what I'm saying.
The whole like abusive stuff. Yes.
It really does. Undermine.
And I suspect it's because the movie didn't realize that it was about abuse.
Yes, when they were making it. That's probably true. Although, I gotta say, that movie is, of course, famously, we all got to see that because of Steven Spielberg.
Yes.
Yeah, because he's the one who said, because they're like, do you want to produce a big budget Hollywood remake of it full of celebrities? And he sat down and he watched it. He's like, no, just put this out. Like,
yeah.
That was Spielberg. He was completely right. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
It's like the version of Saw with Josh Hartnett and Michael Douglas they wanted to make. No, that probably wouldn't have been as good.
What?
That's what they wanted to do. Michael Douglas and Josh Hartnett.
Oh my God.
Now, to be fair, we would have been prevented from having to suffer through Lee Winnell. But, like, doing a big budget Hollywood Saw would have been a disaster.
Oh my God.
I know, right?
Oh, God. Okay, right. I'm done.
Okay, I gotta say, there's some interesting movies on that list. At least one I want to check out. But the fact is, like, the fear inherent, right, in exorcism movies, the idea that a loved one is, like, suddenly transformed into someone else, I mean, it is a statement about mental illness, but it's something that's incredibly resonant to the human experience, which makes me wonder, do you think they're going to keep making horror movies about that?
Oh, I hope so, but I can't say for sure because this week's upcoming horror movie is called Last Night at Terrace Lanes.
Okay, so it's about bowling, obviously.
It is, yes. Yeah. It says here, when a bloodthirsty cult invades a bowling alley on his final night of operation, a high schooler on a date from hell must join forces with her survivalist dad to fend off the crazed murderers.
That does sound fun. All right. And after gutter balls, everything has to be an improvement.
It's got to be like a real shit date for you to not have fun.
Oh, yeah.
Bowling
is inherently entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, if she's with a date who is, like, ridiculously competitive,
that
would be terrible.
Yes.
But it's really easy to have fun bowling. I would say it's almost hard to not have fun bowling.
Well, if you're with someone who's really competitive.
Yeah, you're right. That would be the way. Like, because nobody expects you to be good at bowling. They expect you to have fun with bowling and make jokes when you miss and congratulate you when you succeed. Like, it's a very easy to have a good time social experience. Like, I think it's one of the ultimate just, like, it's a thing where you can just say any group of people, get them together, throw some bowling balls. People are pretty much guaranteed to have a good time. So I'm actually really interested to see how they depict a bad bowling date.
I came for the bowling. I stayed for the cult.
I know that makes me sound crazy, but that's my actual opinion. All right. When is this coming out? Who's involved?
Okay, so we don't have to wait very long because it comes out in January.
Oh, okay.
And these people are not familiar to me.
Okay.
Francesca Capaldi, Chris Ridings? I don't know how to pronounce his name. Arnold.
All right. Is it North American? Is it English? Like, actually, they're not bowling in England. What am I saying?
Pretty sure this is North America.
It's got to be set in America. Like, do they have bowling at all? I know they have Skittles, which is basically the same thing, but, you know.
I don't know.
All right. something for me to look
into. I'm curious
into.
To see what this how the survivalist dad fits into the picture.
Yeah, that's a weird element to it. But
also,
we'll check it out.
You know
what? Probably the ghost
kind
of
a dirty word.
Yeah.
Should be prepper.
But maybe he is a dirtbag survivalist. And he's dead now, and it's her memory. She is accompanied by her memories of him.
Well, it says here she has to join forces with him.
Yeah, but it could be like, the psychic memories of her abuse.
I don't think they mean it quite that.
Metaphorically? Probably
metaphorically,
not.
Metaphorically, yes.
I'm just trying to make this sound more interesting. All right, now that we've talked about movies that we haven't seen yet, let's talk about some movies we did see.
Oh, boy. Okay. So tonight we begin with A Creature Was Stirring. We didn't talk about this.
I didn't even have to tell her to start with it. Like, she knows. She knows what I'm going to say about this movie.
All right. Here's
you can
my
do my
synopsis.
Half of this conversation for me at this point. You know what I'm going to say.
A mother and daughter host a couple of home invaders during a Christmas blizzard.
Jesus.
Oh my god.
I mean, can you imagine the arrogance?
I am more confused than I am angry. I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm mad.
Oh no, you're definitely
mad.
Very
confused.
Confusion is also an appropriate response at the end of this movie. Okay, I'm trying to say, because, spoiler alert, we're going to spoil this entire movie, right now.
Oh,
but
yes,
we don't
yes.
think you should watch it, so don't worry about it. just how arrogant as a filmmaker, right, do you have to be like, and then we get to the end of the movie, and, we find out that nothing happened. All the stuff you watched, none of it happened. Not one thing you watched happened. Who does that?
We've seen it before.
I know, but who thinks that's an acceptable way to make a movie?
Know. Lots of people, because it happens all the fucking time. Nothing happened. Fine. But then explain to me how all of this stuff actually happens, the stuff that we see. Because if it's all in her head, the mother, the mother's a crazy person.
Yeah.
If she is imagining the home being invaded, then why do we get to see these two home invaders have a conversation with each other? Why does one of them get to see a monster in the garage?
Why does one of them have a long conversation with the demon that cursed the daughter?
Yes. Exactly.
Really good question. I don't have answers.
Not just a conversation, physical interaction.
Yep.
What the shit?
What am I watching? What did I watch?
And then you mean to tell me that this woman imagined herself?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know how to phrase this properly.
Yeah.
She masturbates but imagines herself. No. She imagines herself making out with one of the home invaders.
Yep. In a Green Lantern
costume. In a Green Lantern
costume,
imagines the other home invader sneaking into the bedroom while they're making out on the bed, but that other person sees her masturbating because she's only imagining making out with the guy who's dressed as a Green Lantern, but all of that is part of her imagination.
Yes!
What? What kind of Inception bullshit is this?
Do you understand my reaction to the film, then? Hey, have you ever wanted a movie from the parents' point of view in a Munchausen syndrome by proxy situation? No? Well, continue not watching this movie then. Because that's what it's about. A woman who is so full of guilt or whatever that she continues injecting her daughter with poison to make her sick all the time. Because she's convinced herself that her daughter is demonic because she's a sinner and killed somebody when she was a child.
No, but even that stuff doesn't track, because so she's keeping her daughter's temperature elevated. It has to be between 102 and 104, because if it gets higher than that, the daughter will turn into a
porcupine
monster.
Demon. Yeah.
Okay, well, what happens
and
when
if it gets
temperature
lower
drops
that,
below?
She will also turn into a porcupine
what?
Monster,
like,
I guess. Of course it doesn't make sense.
She's in a fucking ice bath at one point. I'm like, well, her temperature's
it's
definitely going to
be
below
lower than 102.
It's going to be below, like, normal body temperature at that point, because she's ice bath. And then, so that doesn't make any sense. So we actually don't know what happens if her temperature's below 102. No, it just can't be more than that. Anyway. Yeah. So, okay, so her daughter is some kind of, like, weird porcupine monster because she had sex with a porcupine demon, and the daughter is the result of that. Or because the daughter got lost at the zoo and then was attacked by a porcupine?
Yep.
Like, I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And neither does the movie.
Yeah. The movie has no idea what's going on. Especially when you're like, hey, that whole extended interaction the home invader had with the daughter while hiding in the daughter's closet is supposed to be a conversation she was having with her mother, even though that conversation makes no sense.
Yeah.
If it was the mother. So I guess, like, we're just supposed to be, she talked about something, but it's not the conversation we saw?
I guess.
Like, what am I watching?
Because they definitely have a conversation.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
But this is not written as one of those conversations that you can then go on to interpret two different ways.
No, no, no. This is just, hey, things are really fucked up. Sure are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this movie does not track at all.
No, it doesn't. And then you get to the end of the movie, and it makes somehow even less sense.
Less sense, yeah.
Because now it's a week later. The storm has passed. Was there even a storm to begin with? I don't know. The daughter goes out the window.
Yeah.
And has died in a bunch of trees.
She left out the window on the night of the big storm.
But she went through a ground floor window.
A ground floor? Well, it's the same one they broke in. The guys theoretically broke in.
Yeah. How does she end up trapped in a bunch of fallen trees?
I think the tree fell on her as she was leaving.
But she's in, like, she's not under the tree. She's in the tree.
It is weird. I'm not going to say it's not weird. I think the intent, I can't approve how they posed her. But I think the intent is that the tree fell on her in this nasty winter storm. Because trees fall over all the time in nasty winter storms.
Also, like, that's if just that much snow that fell, not all of it would have melted within a week.
Yeah, I thought that was, like, hilarious. Is it sudden? Because, by the way, with that much snow, 4 feet of snow outside, even if it was August for the next week, the snow wouldn't be gone. It's just how snow works.
Oh my god.
Yeah. But it's like, I'm watching this movie, and I mean, I gotta say, pretty early on, I'm like, okay, well, obviously, these aren't real people who have shown up. You know, because it's like, nothing they're doing and saying makes sense. And nothing about the situation seems to track logically. And I'm just trying to figure out what's going on here. Are these, like, demons or angels come in to deal with the situation? And it didn't occur to me that they could be figments of anyone's imagination.
Nope.
Like, I knew they weren't honestly there. I knew this wasn't really happening exactly, like, naturally. Because, honestly, why would you be wandering around in a blizzard? in the middle of the night dressed like that. That just doesn't make sense. But it never occurred to me for a second that they were figments of anybody's imagination, because they keep having conversations between each other and the demons in the house. And like you say,
interacting with stuff. Yes.
And interacting with stuff and finding things out. And I'm like, no, none of this makes sense. Because it's like when they come in and she's got an angel tattoo and a Bible, I'm like, oh, so she's an exorcist who secretly knew about this to find out and, you know, deal with a demon? No, nothing like that.
But then she wants to help the daughter.
No, she does. But she doesn't have any way to do that. So does she represent the mother's desire to stop abusing her daughter? It's impossible to tell what's going on in this movie.
No, it is, because it's also, it'd be one thing if the mother just, like, she was just a crazy lady and she kept her daughter sick for reasons that are, I guess, her own. But then at the end, and then the whole thing is really just about addiction.
Yeah.
It's not even about, like, mental illness or religion or any of this other stuff. It's just about addiction.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Just a waste of everybody's time.
It really is.
It's a very frustrating movie. Please?
Licensed Green Lantern, so that's impressive.
Did they know? Or did they just think they could get away with this?
Because nobody cares about Green Lantern. Because
nobody cares about Green Lantern.
Oh, poor Green Lantern.
By the way, here's how little people care about Green Lantern. When they made the TV show The Greatest American Hero, which is literally about a guy who finds a super suit in the middle of the desert, which is from like a... which gives you powers if you put it on, and is from a intergalactic... Wait. This is a TV show.
Wait.
How did it end up in
the desert?
Because that's where aliens land. But the point is, because there's a spaceship there. But the point is, and he can't read the instruction manual, sadly, but it's the idea is there's intergalactic policemen, and they assign people and give them the suits on these various planets to, you know, save people.
I'm hung up on this suit, like this dirty laundry abandoned in the desert.
But the point is, every part about this is explicitly Green Lantern, even down to the logo on the guy's chest, which isn't actually that far from the Green Lantern logo, right?
Okay. Yeah.
But when DC sued the makers of this TV show, they sued based on saying, this guy's too similar to Superman. And the people who ran the company are like, he's not similar to Superman at all. And the judge was like, you're right. And the lawsuit went away. That's how little people care about Green Lantern.
Oh, wow.
Even when someone ripped off Green Lantern, they sued pretending they were suing about Superman and lost because they couldn't bring themselves to sue over Green Lantern. They were like ashamed to admit they knew who Green Lantern was. And they were the ones suing. So no, I don't think there will be a lot of Green Lantern lawsuits.
Okay. All right. Frankly,
it probably was licensed. I was doing a bit. It probably was licensed. I just think it would be funny if it wasn't. It's just like, no one's going to check.
Or care.
Yeah.
Yeah, so movie's not real good.
I enjoyed the suit.
The porcupine monster was cool. Do porcupines roll around like hedgehogs?
Not that I've ever seen. I have seen a lot of porcupines in my life, and every one of them has just waddled around like a gopher.
Okay. I'm not sure, so.
Like,
just,
legit. Okay. There are porcupines in the park next to where I live. I see porcupines on the regular, and I've never seen one roll up.
Never seen roll. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I did see one climb a tree once, which was amazing.
Oh, no, they like
they
trees.
Love they love being up in trees.
Yeah, they like being up in a tree.
But I actually watched this, like, you know, 15-pound fat porcupine, like, slowly climbing up a tree, and it was one of the cutest things I've ever seen. It's true. It's one of the reasons we now take cameras with us whenever we hike, in case something like that happens again.
Film that stuff. That's
great.
Well,
we didn't have a camera at the time, or we would have gotten so much footage.
Film it on your phone.
Oh, God, no. Our phones are way too low quality. All right. Let's move on from that to a movie that I actually did enjoy, kind of.
Oh, really? Oh.
Kind of.
That's going to be a weird conversation. Okay, our second movie tonight is The Sacrifice Game.
Yeah.
Two students and a teacher at a private girls' school are home invaded over the Christmas break. So you actually have two home invasion movies.
I know, that wasn't even planned.
It just sort of worked out.
Yeah, Christmas home invasion. It's a popular new genre. Okay, well, popular is doing a lot of work in that sentence.
All right. I didn't like this movie. You did?
No, I didn't like this movie. I was fond of one aspect of it. And that is really okay. Well, how fast did you know what was going on? Right, immediately or sooner?
Oh my goodness, I had such a hard time connecting with the movie.
Oh, completely. I don't think I almost unwatchably alienating movie. Like,
I didn't care to know, to figure it out, to think about it. I'm just like, on to the next thing, which is how the movie is.
So literally, the movie starts with some people doing a Charles Manson to a family.
Yeah.
Right, doing a Charles Manson to a family. And I'm like, oh, so it's going to be one of those movies. And it is, largely. But then we go to the girls' school. And I think this is a triumph of casting. Because we hear about a town that burned down because of witchcraft X amount of time ago. And then four people came and built this came down the mountain from where the town burned down and built the town they're in. And then we meet one of the girls in the girls' school. And I, like I said, I think this is a triumph of casting. And I'm like, oh, so she's the demon from that town 400 years ago or whatever.
Because she looks like a demon.
Yes! Like, you can't look at this little girl. I feel like that's the
opposite of a triumph of casting.
Oh, no. It's like, you wanted someone to cast. I don't, well, yes. No, but I'm just saying, if the casting was a little girl who's secretly a demon, that's it. That's the girl you cast. And that's the way you dress her and do her hair.
That's the problem, though. There's one of many problems in this movie.
See, that's what I liked about it. I liked that it was so obvious. Like, that it was literally, you know how you can't look at Damien and not know he's the devil's son? It's exactly the same way. So the minute I saw her, I'm like, oh, when she's gonna demon, I can't wait for her to start demoning. Come on, get your demon going.
No.
So yeah, that was my reaction to the movie. And that's the part I enjoy, just waiting for this demon to start demoning. And when she starts demoning, she demons pretty effectively.
No, like, she does a good job moving around all weird and stuff. That's great. Don't really care for that dress she's wearing at the end of the movie.
Yeah, weird choice.
I also didn't like that she was, like, semi, like, in her underwear.
Yeah,
like,
that's that just wasn't gross. Cool. Come on, guys.
Not cool. She's, like, 14. Don't do that.
Not necessary. Yeah. But she does demon dancing. She does demon, like, whispering. She does demon chanting. She just demons up a storm. And I really enjoyed her demoning parts of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, I don't think it's a good movie at all.
I'm watching this movie. I'm like, what is wrong with this movie? I'm like trying to pin it down. And then it came to me. Ooh. This movie has no atmosphere. Zero atmosphere. I'm like, I think this is why I can't connect. Never mind the fact that, like, it's not a good story and it's not well told.
Yeah. And they're not building a coherent world. So you don't feel like you're there or any of the characters are there.
No, you just move on to the next thing. As I said, it's like there's no plotting that's taking place. There's no stories being developed. It's just one thing after another.
Yeah, a series of things happen in chronological order. But that's not a story.
Yeah.
No, I see your point. And it is
very frustrating.
So it's like,
okay, so you had this brief conversation about witches right before the end of the
school year.
Okay.
Yeah. Weird. Right before Christmas break. Let's do our course on witches. Wonder if that's going to come up later.
Right. And then nothing happens for a while. Then we find the weird girl in the basement. She's like, this is where they keep the books they don't want us to read. Want to leave this basement? Sure do. I'm like, hold on a second.
What was the point of that?
I'm not going to talk anymore about these weird books in the basement?
You know, all the secret cult books. You know, the secret cult library down below our girls' school. That's a completely normal thing to be there.
Christ.
And we're apparently not going to react to.
God.
I know.
So. Yeah.
And then we get to the Manson part. And we're just like, yep, okay, well, we've seen people torturing people at dinner before. That's not anything fresh or new.
Interesting. Yeah.
Now we're getting to the human sacrifice and the demon stuff. And now, oh, it's the part where everybody turns on each other because of the demon.
And
great.
I do not believe for 1 minute that guy is a war veteran. I'm sorry.
No.
Not at all.
It doesn't seem plausible.
Nope.
No.
If anything, the other dude, the one who was the car, they should have swapped those two.
Yeah.
He should have been the vet.
Make the guy who's just like completely strung out from his experience of being a coward in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And like barely surviving from cowardice. Yeah, I would have believed it from that actor in a way that I don't from the guy we saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, a guy who's now just like, just doing drugs all the time to keep from remembering the stuff he did in Vietnam.
But we don't see him doing drugs all the time. He's just shell-shocked.
He's just shell-shocked. And I'm like,
because the only people doing drugs all the time are the ringleader and his girlfriend. They're the one just smoking dope.
Constantly high.
And it's not even that interesting. It's just, okay, fire it up.
Go Whatever. For it. Yeah, why not?
Who cares?
No, but it's like, fundamentally, the film neglects to have any interesting characters with anything to say. Because I got to the end of this movie, and I'm like, okay, well, who was the main character?
I don't know.
I honestly, I would love to be able to tell you whose story this was.
It could be one of three people.
I know, that's my point. Wait, is it the blonde girl's movie now? Is she the main character of this movie? What exactly is happening here? Because I have no reason to be invested in her or her journey.
No. Like, she's a horrible person doing horrible things.
Yeah, for no good reason.
No, it should be about the friendship that develops between the demon girl and the other girl who gets ditched by her stepdad. That's really sad.
Which
but
is
we
why
need the movie to start earlier in the year for that.
Yes, and that was my problem, because I get to the end of this movie and I'm like, wait a minute. This is a movie about a neglected little girl and her best friend who's a demon? When did that happen?
Exactly.
And then I'm thinking, you know, this could have been a much more interesting movie if it had been about this the whole time. Because I want to have it heartfelt that she's fine with killing a Manson cultist to help her demon friend escape her prison. I want to feel good about that. But you have not invested me in any of these characters or their relationship. And it's like, how interesting would it be if you have, like, to have done it, as you say, earlier in the school year and more footage, like, more sequence scenes of this demon who, like, desperately is constantly trying to get other girls to get interested in this cult stuff down in the basement so that hopefully one day she can be free, which is what has happened with the, which is what has happened with the blonde girl. Like, years ago, she was told, pointed to the cult stuff. And it's like, how interesting would it be if she was doing that with this lonely little girl, but the girl was not interested in the cult stuff and just wanted to have a friend and was, like, trying to befriend this demon and so hanging out with her with all the occult stuff just so she has someone to talk to. And it's like, that's what I feel like the story should have been.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating watching this movie because it's like, as you say, from scene to scene, it has a different main character. And it's like, so they've done the cult stuff. They're like, well, why hasn't the demon summoning worked? And now the demon girl is the bad guy. And we're supposed to be invested in what happened to these mass murderers we've been watching kill people.
Yeah, who gives a crap about those jerks? And then you have the lead Manson guy.
Yeah.
Who is actually doing, like, a pretty good job. I feel bad for him because he's, like, you know, he's performer? Doing the best with what he's
got. Oh, yeah. I liked his performance as the lead Manson guy.
So it's like, and he thinks that he's become the demon and he's just kidding himself. I'm like, we also need more of that, of this guy
who's
so committed to bringing about this demon. And to the point where he believes he's a demon, it's like, but that's also, like, a really interesting story to tell. Let's spend some
delve
time
into that rather than have him just immediately get knocked out and tied up.
Right. It's like, why does this guy want to be this demon so bad? Yeah. Like,
why is it so important to him? What are his plans?
Right. Because if it was the blonde girl's idea, like, if she's the one who got everybody together and got everyone on board with this demon summoning, which turns out to be a demon, not a summoning, I guess a release, a demon.
Yeah, they're breaking the demon binding.
Yeah. So it's like, well, then why is this guy, like, so keen to get this demon out into the... Yeah, it just... And then everyone's in love with her. Of course they are. And it's
Of course.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, but I did enjoy waiting for that little girl to just go in demon.
Nah, because then when she gets all demon-y, it's like, okay, now we're just running out the clock. Yeah, weird.
That
dancing,
is definitely...
Whatever.
Yeah.
This really... hard to watch dinner scene, not because it's graphic or gruesome or violent, just because it's bad.
Yeah, because it's not very well done. You got to sacrifice something, so we're cutting off your hair and your ear and your fingers.
So it's like, why are we even bothering with all this shit if you have all these magic powers?
Yeah, why do you need a guy to do this for you? And I guess because she's not allowed to kill people herself to break the thing. Like, she can't break the curse, the binding herself.
Sure.
Is the thing. She has to have a human decide to do it for her.
But she has, like, all these, it's just, she's got powers that we don't understand.
Yeah.
I thought the cutting would be more important, quite honestly.
She's cutting herself, and I'm like, well, why, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's got the scars all over herself because they put this demon inside a little girl and trapped it there by scarring, by putting these cuts on it. But what do these new cuts have to do with that?
Right, why wouldn't she try to cut up whatever this, like,
I assume it's part of
is.
The curse that she can't, but it's not like the
but
film
we don't
explains
know
that.
You're just There's no reason to think that.
No, you're right. Well, I mean, she can't.
Because you
she
see her
can't
cutting
leave.
herself all the time. It's like, oh, maybe she cut that into herself. That's not what's binding her. She cut that into herself so she can be released, and it's not working. Like, you could
Yeah.
come up with any number of
No,
reasons.
you're right. Like, it's a problem with the movie that none of this gets explained. And honestly, had there been a lot more of a movie about a lonely girl and her best friend, a demon who's trapped inside his school,
Yeah.
I think they would have had something here. But like, they spend so much time with these Manson characters we don't care about. We spend a lot of time with a teacher who's just gonna get killed off halfway through,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Like, so you give me no one to get invested in. So of course I'm going to just be like
No, I'll
here
tell you who
to
I was
wait for
invested
this
in.
monster.
I was
Please.
invested in Jimmy because he's going to propose to his girlfriend. That's who I was
Yeah,
invested in.
that's true. And then he gets killed off without having any dialogue.
Yeah.
Thanks, movie.
No, he has a he says a few things. He
No, I
talks
meant
to
after he comes
Oh,
back.
after.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Without getting to say anything or
Or
do
do
anything.
anything.
Ugh,
At the
God
very
damn
least,
it.
and it's like, it's because it's right there on the table. You make him propose to her under duress. She
Yeah.
says yes, and you kill him. This isn't
Yes.
hard.
This isn't hard to write a movie.
But you still fucked it up.
You had all of the pieces right in front of you.
Right? It's a box cutter.
I know.
God.
It's like you had a four-piece jigsaw puzzle and you summoned, like, all of the pieces were right there. I don't know how you failed to assemble this four-piece jigsaw puzzle. It was the
Blurst, so.
times. There you go. No, it is deeply frustrating. I'm not going to disagree with you on that one. And I, like I said, I enjoyed the Demon Girl's performance. I'm not going to pretend I didn't. I think that was the high point. I wish the movie had been about that friendship. I think you would have had a movie then because of like, ask, what does it do to a demon to spend 200 years hanging out at a girl's school? Like,
Right.
what does that do to you? And it's
Well,
like,
you just get
why?
sullen and weird.
But it's like, and why would this one girl who's specifically lonely and specifically interesting be someone who could break through this demon shell of, anger and resentment and fury? Like,
Yeah.
because that's what the film becomes about in the last second of the movie, with there having been no lead up to it.
Yeah.
Ah, but you're right. It's like they're trying to make six different movies here. Pick one. There. Pick the movie you're making.
Pick the right one, though.
But obviously pick the right one, yes. We're not that interested in Manson people pull, doing a Manson.
No, we're not.
No. All right. So that was, I want to say, Sacrifice
A sacrifice
Night?
game.
Game, thank you. Not really a game, but you know what? That's not the point. I'm just saying, Squid Game, that was a game. It was explicitly a game. There were clear rules. People were playing. There was a winner. There were some losers. Oh my God. All right. But yes, that is that. Let's wrap it up here with the real question. Do you have any narcissism you would like to watch?
Oh, I don't.
Okay. I, of course, check out all of my stuff about the upcoming Supermassive game, the casting of Frank Stone, which is a crossover with Dead by Daylight. So that should be a
Oh.
lot of fun. I'm doing as many videos as I can about a game where they refuse to give us any new information, which I'm really sad about. Just put out a video theorizing what the release date might be. So that should be interesting to check out. But more importantly, this means I'm going to spend Christmas like playing Dead by Daylight and finding out what's going on in Dead by Daylight.
It doesn't sound that bad, honestly.
You're right. That's the worst way to spend Christmas.
Worst things you could be doing on Christmas.
Speaking of, we are going on our Christmas New Year's hiatus, so
Taking a
we'll
little
see you
break. Yep.
back here in the new year when we come back for our traditional January, catching up on the movies we should have watched
But didn't.
this year. So that should be a blast. You're wondering what we thought of the new Evil Dead movie. We're gonna talk about it, If you have
Are we?
other like major horror movies that we just didn't bother going to see in theaters, well, we're gonna talk about them.
Right, and
Maybe
then
I'll
you'll get
convince you to talk about The Blackening.
I have already.
Oh, no, yeah, that's true. You did talk about the Black Queen already. You're right.
Right. And then you'll get to find out about what I watched on all of the planes I'm going to be riding on in the next couple of weeks.
I know. Random crap section, 20 minutes of all of the movies you watched on a plane. Yeah. I'm not spoiling where she's going, but it will be 22 hours in the air. 22 hours there, 22 hours back. That's an exaggeration. That is an exaggeration. No. It's not that much of an exaggeration.
No, it is. It is.
I know. I know how long it actually takes to get there. I just wanted to oversell just how many movies you're going to be watching.
I'm going for 2 weeks. I would never travel for 22 hours to go somewhere
for two weeks.
Yeah, okay, that seems ridiculous.
It does. You're losing two of the days of the 2 weeks just flying. All right. So, is there any other way to get in touch with us?
You can visit the AVODs blog at theavod.com. You can stream all episodes there. You can leave us a comment to tell us how much you didn't like the sacrifice game, I guess. Or if you know what's going on in A Creature with Stirring, let us know, because we clearly don't. You can send us an email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Threads, and if you're listening on app, rate, review, subscribe.
I'm going to encourage you to do all of those things. So until next time, I've been Count Fargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching, and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.